Chapter 2. 45 minutes later, as the altimeter slowly unwound past 5,000 feet, what had been the dull glow of the lights of Montevideo suddenly became the defined lights of the apartment houses along the Rambla and the headlights of cars driving along it.
"There it is, Lester!" Castillo cried in mock excitement. "Montevideo! Just where it's supposed to be! Will miracles never cease?"
"So the data on the GPS indicates, sir," Bradley said, very seriously, pointing to the screen of the laptop.
Castillo looked. The representation of an automobile was now moving over the River Plate, parallel to the Rambla.
"What the hell am I going to do with you, Lester? I can't send you back to the Marine Corps. Not only do you know too much, but after everything you've been through, you're not going to be happy as a corporal pushing keys on a computer.
And now, if you will excuse me, Lester, I will talk to the nice man in the tower, after which I will see if I can get this aged bird on the ground in one piece."
"Yes, sir."
Castillo reached for the microphone.
"Carrasco, approach control. Aero Commander 4-3.
5 minutes later, as they turned off the Carrasco runway, Bradley said,
"There's Chief Inspector Ordóñez, sir,"
and pointed. Castillo looked. Ordóñez was leaning against the nose of a helicopter, sitting on the tarmac before the civil aviation terminal.
"I wonder what he wants. That's one of the old and battered police Hueys I am about to replace for him. But that's an Aerospatial Dauphin parked next to it. I thought he said there was only one of those and that it belonged to the president. What the hell is going on? And how the hell did he know we were going to be here?"
Ordóñez was standing outside the Aero Commander when Castillo opened the cabin door.
"There has been a development, Coronel," he said without any preliminaries.
"And how are you, Chief Inspector Ordóñez?" Castillo said.
Ordóñez ignored the greeting.
"Would you be surprised to hear that your Secretary of State has evinced an interest in the welfare of Ambassador Lorimer and his wife?"
"No, I wouldn't."
"I thought so."
"I thought so what?"
"That you are behind what has happened. What's it all about? I don't like being pressured."
"Would you be surprised to hear I have no idea what you're talking about?"
Max exited the airplane and made for the nose gear. Delchamp, Young, and Bradley got out and looked at Ordóñez.
"I'd heard you'd left the Estancia," Ordóñez said to Young, "by car, in the middle of the night, and had gone to Argentina."
"Which means he has people watching Shangri-La."
"Why not? Is that what's got him pissed off?"
"I wasn't aware he needed your permission to do anything," Castillo said.
"It was not in connection with your Secretary of State? Is that what you're saying?"
"No, it was not."
"Then what?"
"In my experience, Ordóñez," Castillo said, "when someone in your frame of mind, to use the Norte Americano phrase, highly pissed off, asks a question, he usually thinks he has the answer, and is not interested in yours, even if yours happens to be the truth. Would I be wasting my breath, in other words?"
"I suggest you try answering, and we'll find out," Ordóñez said.
"Okay, bluff called. When in doubt, tell the truth."
"Okay," Castillo said. "We have reason to believe, Jung found out, that the CIA station chief in Asunción is dirty. 90% certainty. He went to Argentina to tell Delchamp and me, if he could find me."
Ordóñez looked at him very closely. "Somehow, I don't think that's what you expected to hear, is it, Jose?"
"Wrong answer, Jose?" Castillo said, smiling at him.
"Not what I expected," Ordóñez said.
"Is that true, David?"
Young nodded.
"Then I apologize. I had decided that you were entirely capable of doing something like that, and probably had, but I couldn't figure out why.
Done something like what?
At 11 o'clock this morning, I was summoned, together with the Minister of the Interior, to the Foreign Ministry. The President was there. They had just been on a conference call with our ambassador to Washington. He reported that your Secretary of State had requested a, quote, personal service, unquote, from him, and requested that he receive her at his earliest convenience. Half an hour later, she was at our embassy. She told him that she was very deeply concerned about the welfare of Ambassador Lorimer and his wife, who, against her advice and wishes, were already on their way to Estancia Shangri-La. She said the ambassador has a serious heart condition, which had been almost certainly exacerbated by the loss first of his son and then of his home in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. She asked, as a personal request, not as the Secretary of State, that we do whatever we could for Ambassador Lorimer and his wife. He paused. The President thought that was amusing.
Amusing.
He said the lady may have gone to see the ambassador as a private citizen, but that inasmuch as she is the Secretary of State, your American eagle was sitting on her shoulder.
I'll tell you what I know, Jose, Castillo said. She likes Ambassador Lorimer. I don't even know how she knows him, but she likes him. She doesn't want him down here. She told him that personally, and she sent me to Mississippi, where he and his wife were staying with Masterson's widow and her father, to talk him out of coming. I couldn't. My only connection with this was to send my airplane, the Gulfstream, to bring them here. That would at least spare them the hassle of going through airports. So what I'm saying is that your ambassador got what he saw. A very nice lady worried about a nice old man. She had no other agenda.
And what are you going to tell this nice old man about your plans for Estancia Shangri-La? Have you considered that?
He knows, Castillo said.
He knows?
Ordóñez asked incredulously. That was my whole card in trying to talk him out of coming. I played it, and it didn't work.
Well, let me tell you how this very nice lady's concern for a nice old man is going to complicate things for you, Castillo. The President, not my chief, the Interior Minister, and not the Foreign Minister, but my President, pointed a finger at me and told me I was now responsible for the comfort and safety of Ambassador Lorimer and his wife as long as they are in Uruguay. If I don't believe I can adequately protect them with any of our police agencies, it can be arranged for a company of our infantry to conduct routine maneuvers near Estancia Shangri-La for as long as necessary, to spare the ambassador and his wife the long ride by car from here to the Estancia, and to preclude any chance of a mishap on the road. I am to suggest to them that they accept the President's offer of his personal helicopter. He pointed at the Aerospecial Dauphin, to transport them to the Estancia. By the time the helicopter would have reached Shangri-La, this was the Interior Minister's suggestion, I would have ensured that the Estancia had been visited by appropriate police officials under my command to make sure there were no security problems.
He paused. Castillo thought,
he's actually out of breath.
You sound as if there's some reason you can't do that, Castillo said.
Can't do what?
Take the Lorimers to the Estancia in the President's helicopter.
How are you going to take them there in the dark?
Ordóñez said, gesturing. Speaking hypothetically, of course, I think that would pose no problem. What you do is fly there, and when people on the Estancia, who are expecting you, hear you overhead, they turn on the headlights of their cars, which have been positioned to light the field near the house, and then you land.
How are you going to find Shangri-La?
GPS.
The Aerospecial doesn't have it. I asked.
I do, Castillo said. Lester, show the chief inspector the laptop.